Hey, hey, hey. Happy Thursday evening, everyone. Hey, you're listening to Money Matters with Marianne, and I'm Marianne. It's Thursday evening, it's sunny, it's summer. What's not to love about tonight? In fact, it was so beautiful that I decided to go and have a swim before the show and hung out with my BFF, Twyla. I don't know if you've got the radio on, but nice to see you and Jim at the beach, and the water was awesome, so I highly recommend it, especially all the crew down at the Hubbard's Waterfront getting ready for Festival on the Cove, busy pitching tents and getting things ready for the entertainment. I suspect you're all getting a little hot and sticky down there, so you might want to take a break and jump in the ocean and cool off. And they can always use some helping hands, so if you're roaming around and you'd like to help, pop on down. I'm sure they can find something for you to do and would be much appreciative. Actually, I'm saying all of that and I realize it's Thursday, not Friday, and the event's Saturday. It's 2 days away, so I think they're there tonight. Otherwise, my brain might be fried and I may not know what's going on at all. That's possible, you know. Okay, back to the show. So if anyone's tuning in for the first time, this is a show with a bit of a twist. All songs have a money-related theme, and I sprinkle in financial advice throughout the show. So here's what we have coming up this evening. I have three lessons learned segment, three things I'm going to share with you that popped up over the last week that I thought were good reminders or good things to share. And the topic tonight is six money beliefs that might be keeping you poor. And so I'm gonna share six beliefs. We're gonna do a little bit of myth busting or belief busting and talk about what those beliefs are and how you can shake them so that you can have happier, healthier finances, because that's the objective of the show, is to help you improve your financial situation from wherever it is. So if it's not good, let's make it good. If it's good, let's make it great. All right, I always start the show off with a little joke just to get things moving, get everybody in the mood. So I thought this was interesting. It was a clip out of a paper. My God, Marianne, speak properly. Okay, here we go. A Brooklyn cafe is charging $12 for a cup of Ethiopian coffee. Just let that sink in for a second. The drink doesn't have a name, so The Week, which was a publication, asked its readers to do the honors. Can we come up with a name for this $12 cup of Ethiopian coffee? And here were the top seven names. Mocha Dinero. Yep, that fits. Or, if you don't like that, how about Costa Latte? I think I like that one back the best. Brokefest Blend. Or we have Excesso. Also a good one. And sorry, that one caught my throat. Ka-ching Achino. I just say that one again. Ka-ching Achino. There, okay, it's hard to say. Gold Bean Sacks. Or Cafe O Layaway. Because, of course, you'd have to put in layaway because it costs so much. So, there you go. There's some names for a $12 cup of coffee. By the way, I don't recommend paying $12 for a cup of coffee. Just saying, not a good budgeting technique. Maybe do it once, but really, you can get awesome cups of coffee for $2. And it's kind of like those bottles of wine, right? You can pay 30 bucks and you can pay 15. And sometimes the $15 ones are just as good as the $30 ones. Okay, what do we have coming up? Well, because the topic is six money beliefs that may be keeping you poor, every song I'm playing tonight has poor in the title and or song. So we're going to start things off with Copper Penny Sitting on a Poor Man's Throne. And we're going to follow that up with Don Messer, Poor Girl's Waltz. Now, I'm pretty sure one of those is an instrumental, the second one maybe, which means you're just going to zone out to some music without words. So let's get this party started, and I'll be back to share some money advice with you in just a few minutes.
Nothing. Thank you. this weekend, don't forget that thing.
What thing?
That thing, singers.
That thing with Rich Appel.
Oh, that thing.
For that classic top 40 sound.
The hits, the jingles, even the commercials.
This weekend, don't forget that thing.
That thing.
That thing with Rich Appel.
That thing with Rich Appel, Saturday nights from 9 till midnight on 88.7 Cove FM.
Want the community to know about your business? Advertise in the Masthead News, your community newspaper. Reach out to 15,207 homes and more. Call 902-857-9099 now.
Okay, I am back and you're listening to Money Matters with Mary Ann right here on 88.7 Cove FM in beautiful Hubbards, Nova Scotia, or around the world, wherever you might be listening to us. So I checked the Facebook page, and yes, they are setting up this evening. I did read that right, so if you have a hand to spare and you want to help out, pop down to the Hubbards waterfront and help get set up for the festival on the Cove coming this Saturday. Okay, let's see, what do we have going on here? Yes, lessons learned. Here's some things that came up throughout the week that I thought were worth sharing. So the first one is notice the warning signs. And I bring this up because I find there are warning signs that we tend to overlook because we just assume things are going to get better and maybe just put them on the back burner. So what are the warning signs? And I wanted to make the distinction between the real early warning signs, they're the ones you want to pay attention to, and the kind of smacky in the face warning signs, they're the ones that you start paying attention to. And you don't want things to get to that point. So early warning signs would be starting to carry a balance on your credit cards or lines of credit, or the balances are starting to increase. So your outstanding balance is increasing month to month. How would you know? Well, obviously you'd know by looking at it, but I recommend keeping track, especially if you do carry a balance on your cards. Put the balance down at the end of each month so you can see the trend. Is it going up? Is it going down? Are there times of the year when it goes up and it goes down? Because information is power, and if you have the right information, you can make great decisions. Another one would be constantly remortgaging your property. This is a huge trend these days, is going in, remortgaging, wrapping your debt into the, pulling out the equity, putting your debt into it. And doing it once might be a financial strategy. Doing it more than once is bordering on financial disaster. So there's a thin line between those two. And of course, the big warning signs are your credit's starting to get maxed out. Now you're making interest-only payments, you're not getting anywhere, and I'll talk about a little later one of the additional pitfalls that happens. So notice the warning signs. Number two, the credit system, if you haven't noticed, is set up so that you'll fail. And I bring that up because I think it's important that we change our outlook on what credit is and on using credit and understand it is not there to help us. It is not there to support us. It is there so that lenders make a lot of money, and they make a lot of money. And so the example I always use is, let's say you have four credit cards and you max them all out and you pay the interest only payments. Are you a good client for the lender or are you a bad client for the lender? So hopefully most of you or all of you said you're a good client for the lender. They're making a hell of a lot of money off you. They're making a lot of interest, plus eventually you might pay back the principal, and so you're a good client. And so how screwed up is the system where that makes you a good client? And then there's a little kick you when you're down syndrome that happens. This is what I was referring to a minute ago. And this is where when you max out your credit cards, the first thing you're going to notice is they up your interest rates because you've now become a higher risk and they can do that. And the challenge is you're not making your payments now. You've maxed out your credit and you're struggling. Then the interest rates go up. What do you think happens there? It's a recipe for disaster. And the third one is credit gives you a false sense of security. Now, credit's not all bad. In fact, the best use of credit is having it and not using it. And I know that sounds odd. But basically, credit can be security, but only if you use it when you absolutely have no other choice and no other option. And what's been happening is we've been getting very lazy planning for emergencies and things that come up, because we know that we can use credit to get us through the hard times, and we're relying or depending on it, and that's where the issue arises. And this came up because I had two people this week, one lady that she was in her mid-70s, sorry, don't know why I'm laughing, it's not funny. I tend to do that to diffuse situations, and because she was quite upset, obviously, and she only had $15,000 in debt. It's not a lot, but when you're living on, you know, $1,800 a month pension, it's a lot. And everything was maxed out, and she couldn't use it. She was paying the interest only, and they upped her rates, so everything I just talked about. She was struggling, went to the bank, and they didn't reduce the rates, and they wouldn't help. And so we were talking about debt settlements, and she said, "Will I lose my line of credit and credit card?" And I'm like, yes, if you settle your debt, you're going to lose your credit. And she was like, well, but I was hoping that I could travel one day, or, you know, what if I need it if something comes up? And I said very gently, you don't have any credit. So what you have is a lot of debt. You're paying the interest only payment. You're never going to pay it off. You're never going to have any available credit to do the things you just talked about. And of course, I said it very nicely and lovingly. And I said, you know, really what you need to do is get back on track so that you can live off your income. And if you want to plan for emergencies or travel, then you need to find a way to do that within your budget. That's foreign to a lot of people. Foreign. What do you mean, find a way to do that in my budget? You know, isn't that what credit is for? And I'm paraphrasing, but that tends to be the thought process. Okay, so those are three lessons that came up this week that I thought were worth sharing. So I'm going to start the segment on six money beliefs that might be keeping you poor, because I'm not going to do them all at once, because then you'd listen to me talk for a whole long time, you'd probably turn the station off. So I'm just going to start the little preempt, and then we're going to hear some more wonderful tunes, and then I'll be back. Okay, six money beliefs that might be keeping you poor. There are some very commonly held beliefs about money that have permeated our culture and our way of life over the last 30 or 40 years. But if you step back and think about it, the beliefs that we seem to have been conditioned to learn didn't come from high school or college level professional finance course. Chances are they came from the marketing heavy credit card companies. So my question is, are your beliefs keeping you poor? What's in your wallet? Perhaps a bunch of myths about money that are keeping you poor or broke or at least in debt to someone. So it's noteworthy that I used the word beliefs and not the word facts or truths. What we may believe about money may not be the actual truth about money. And not knowing the truth is partly why we so easily get ourselves into credit card debt, stay in debt, and always pay attention to our credit scores. So we're going to take a look at some of the most common beliefs about money and debunk these myths once and for all, so you understand how you can break the cycle of debt or, gasp, avoid debt. Imagine avoiding debt. So when we come back, I'm going to start with belief number one. But until that time, we're going to hear another song with poor in the title. So this is Traveling Wilburys, Poor House. And if you have a song with poor in the song title somewhere that you'd like to hear, just give us a ring. I can't talk to you while I'm talking, but as soon as you hear songs, you can call and I can answer. And the request line is 902-858-2077. 902-858-2077. Or grab your phone and email studio@covefm.com. So enjoy the Traveling Wilburys, one of my favorite old-time bands. And I'm going to follow that up with the weather, and then I will be back.
Yeah. The Trellis Cafe in Hubbard's is your destination for real food and live music.
We offer delicious, fresh food made with local ingredients.
There's free Wi-Fi, local art, and a sunny patio.
Join us Thursday evenings for an acoustic jam session kitchen party.
On Friday and Saturday nights, we have live music.
We're open 8 a.m. till 9 p.m., Monday to Saturday, and 8 till 8 on Sundays.
Find us on Facebook and Twitter or at trelliscafe.com. The Trellis Cafe, 22 Highway 3 in Hubbard's.
On Friday, August 11th, Campbell Woods performs at the Trellis, and on Saturday, it's Fran Doyle.
Cove FM Weather.
Cove FM Weather is brought to you by Chester Golf Club. Enjoy the magic of a classic golf course in a seaside setting.
For Thursday night, clear, becoming partly cloudy overnight. Wind southwest, 20 kilometers an hour, except gusting to 40 along the coast, and wind becoming light late in the evening with a low of 15. For Friday, mainly cloudy, clearing near noon with a high of 28, except for 22 along parts of the coast, and a humidex of 33 with a UV index of 7 or high. For Friday night, increasing cloudiness with fog patches overnight and a low of 16. For Saturday, cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and a high of 21. And for Sunday, cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and a high of 22. Currently, it's 24 degrees at Cove FM.
You can check the weather anytime online at covefm.com.
So basically what I heard was sun, 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 and more sun until fall comes. That's what I heard. Might have been a few showers in there, but that's good. Plants need a few showers. Okay, so I'm back and we're continuing on with our six money beliefs that might be keeping you poor. Are you ready for belief number one? Belief number one is build a credit score with debt so that you can buy a blank, blank, blank. So usually a car or house later. So here we go. The reality is a credit score is actually a more positive sounding name than what it really is. A credit score is actually a debt score. And to be frank, you don't need to train your credit score by getting credit cards and making payments on it every month to build up credit so that you can get that car loan or mortgage later. Now, bear with me here because there's a few twists to this. A debt score is not a muscle to be trained and worked. You do not need credit or debt to be more accurate in order to finance a car or home. All you need is a zero credit score and the right size down payment, which is at least 20%, and more is better. Having no debt might force the loan officer to generate different forms and terms for the loan, but you should never be rejected due to a zero credit score. If you are, then maybe that's a company or lender you don't want to deal with. Now, I say this understanding that our credit score, it's becoming very challenging not to do anything in the credit world without a good credit score. And having no credit sometimes can be as bad as having bad credit. And this is why I said earlier, the credit system really is set up so you'll fail. You have to have a credit score. The only way you can have a credit score is to use credit. And there's other societies, I think, maybe the UK, someone can write in and correct me if they know different, where you're actually rewarded on not using credit, which is, I think, what we need to be doing. So my point is you know, you can actually get by without using credit, but yes, it is a little challenging in today's society. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about the right way to build up your credit score. Okay, belief number two. Saving is too hard to do when you're living month to month. Well, the reality is, saving is certainly can be hard, but it's only hard when you put it last on your list every month. When you make a monthly spending plan, which everyone should have at least some type of a plan of what they're doing with their money, if you're not, if you're flying by the seat of your pants and you're not paying attention, you're going to basically just go off track pretty much every time. So you should always have any savings plans up front before you take care of any expenses. And any amount will do. So even if you only have $10 or $20 or $30 that you can put away each month, you're going to benefit. And whether you save in an investment account or build up an emergency fund, any savings is going to be helpful. It doesn't have to be hard if you make it the number one priority every month. And again, I'm going to add that, you know, certainly if your reality is you don't make enough money to cover your basic living expenses, then yes, absolutely, savings is going to be challenging, But my advice is you don't throw it out the window. You always have that plan in action to look at what you can do to get there. And I just want to say that when I talk about savings, that might be an emergency fund, just to save for things that come up. If you have a car, you're going to have repairs. You're going to spend the money. You are going to spend the money. If it costs you $1,200 in a year to fix your car, it's going to cost you $1,200 in a year to fix your car. Maybe you pay $300 now and $400 later and $200 later and $100 later, but it's going to be $1,200. So doesn't it make more sense to figure out how you can put away $100 every month and take away that, you know, up and down and constant, you know, constant fluctuation, because those create havoc on your spending plan. So, you know, we've heard the sayings, pay yourself first, it's true. And here's the thing that I always say about that. If you put money away into an account first and you try to live on what's left and you can't, the money hasn't gone anywhere. It's right there in that savings account. If you need it, by all means, take it. But you might be surprised at how you can live without it. And start with $5 a month if it scares the heck out of you to save, just to see if you can do that, and then up it to 10, etc., etc. Okay, belief number 3, I have to have a big emergency fund, and I can't do that on my current income. So, kind of links with the one above. The reality is, ideally, a savings account that holds 3 to 6 months of expenses, okay, not income, of expenses, is what you want. But the bottom line is not so much the amount you need to start with, but it's about that you actually have something as a buffer to protect you from, stay with me here, having to go into debt. So this goes back to what I said previously, where we are just using our credit as our emergency fund, and it doesn't make sense, and it's not a good financial strategy. And unless you pay off your balances every month, you're paying interest, and the emergencies are costing you more. So again, do what you can to scrape together even a minimal, let's say $500, you know, as quickly as you can. So sell something, get an extra job, dig out extra dollars from your spending plan if you can, just to get that basic starter emergency fund established. If you have that while you're working on your budget or your spending plan and your debt, it can start to be your security blanket, and you will see that it gives you that peace of mind that you think credit is giving you, knowing that you have it there. If you start paying off debt, you may find more money that you can put towards growing that emergency fund little by little, especially if you are putting something aside every month. So those are the first 3 myths that can keep you poor or keep you in debt. And I'm going to share the last 3 after a few songs and a few other things that we're going to talk about. So let's see, what do we have coming up here? We have, in keeping with our theme of songs with poor in them, Poor Mountain. And and then I'll be back with the question that came to me on credit and debt, and I'll answer that. So here you go, Poor Mountain with Junior Sisk and Rambler's Choice.
Bootleg education. his engine moans and whines, but the revenue, or he don't know how hard he'll have to drive up that road that's winding up Horn Mountain. It's a long and narrow one to drive, but you can't get your hands on a dollar if you don't know how to make that good moonshine.
In the summertime, Liza in the fall. If I can't have Liza all the time, I won't have her at all. I go up in the mountains and give my horn a blow. I think I hear my true love say, yonder comes my foe. Poor little Liza, poor gal. Poor little Liza Jane. Poor little Liza, poor little gal. She died on the train, train. She died on the train.
Turn the music, Jethro. Let's read them notes.
I wish I had a needle and thread as fine as I could sew. I'd sew my true love to my side and down the road we'd go. Poor little Liza, poor gal. Poor little Liza Jane. Poor little Liza, poor little gal. She died on the train, train. She died on the train. Her face was of a ruddy hue, her hair a chestnut brown. Her eyes were like a thundercloud before the rain comes down. Poor little Liza, poor gal. Poor little Liza Jane. Poor little Liza, poor little gal. She died on the train, train. She died on the train. Like a coffee pot, her nose is like a spout. Her mouth is like an old fireplace with the ashes all raked out. Poor little Liza, poor gal. Poor little Liza Jane. Poor little Liza, poor little gal. She died on the train, train. She died on the train. I went to see my Liza Jane. She was standing in the door. Her shoes and stockings in her hand and her feet all over the floor. Poor little Liza, poor gal. Poor little Liza Jane. Poor little Liza, poor little gal. She died on the train, train. She died on the train. The hardest work I ever did was breaking on the train. The easiest work I ever did was hugging Liza Jane. Poor little Liza, poor gal. Poor little Liza Jane. Poor little Liza, poor little gal. She died on the train, train. She died on the train.
Well, there she goes, Jethro.
Yep, sure is.
Chester Golf Club offers visitors the magic of a classic golf course in a seaside setting. The course routing provides a golfing adventure that is both challenging and enjoyable for all skill levels. It's a joy to play whether you aspire to break 120 or par of 70. Any missed shots will be due to the distracting beauty of the Atlantic Ocean, the islands, and the colorful sailboats tacking in the wind. Call Chester Golf Club today to book your tee time at 902-275-4543 or book online at chestergolfclub.ca.
Cove FM presents Festival on the Cove August 12th at the Hubbard's Waterfront.
Morgan Davis, John Cole Porter and the Trouble, the Curtis Matheson Band.
Get your pass to party at the Hubbard Scotia Bank and at covefm.com.
Okay, I snuck a little song in there. Poor little Lisa, poor girl. So, fun little ditty. Hopefully you enjoyed that. So I did receive a question this week that I thought I'd share, and it was very, timely considering the purpose of this show or the theme of the show, which is beliefs and myths that can keep you poor and keep you in debt. And so the question was, it came to me as Dear Debt, so Dear Dr. Debt, I have destroyed my credit rating and I don't know where to start to repair it. So can you please help me? Yes, yes, I can. So this happens a lot. It happens certainly if, you know, you've made some mistakes when you're younger, or maybe you've had some unpaid cell phone bills or credit and you just kind of, you know, maybe moved around and lost sight of it all. And the stuff doesn't really go away. It just sits there, you know, or maybe you've had some major life events. So separation, divorce, loss of job, medical illness, all the things that can set us back on our keisters. And as a result, your credit rating has taken a hit. So if you don't know anything about credit ratings, the ratings go from 3 to 900, and middle of the road is about 650, 675. So that's kind of where you need to be to really exist in the eyes of lenders. If it's lower than that, it's not that you're going to have trouble getting credit. You'll get credit. Don't worry. It's credit world. But you're going to pay a really high interest rate. Whereas if you're over the 650, 75 mark, 675 mark, it's going to be easier to get credit, and you're going to qualify for a better rate. So this particular person's credit score was down in the low 500s. And so the first thing that you need to do if you're repairing your credit scores, you need to get a full copy of your credit report, because you've got to see what's on there so that you can see what to clean up. And sometimes that means reaching out to someone like me so that we can help you make sense of it. And I recently had a friend on social media reach out just for that reason. And so I'm helping them figure out what's going on in the report, what they need to do to make it better. It's not bad, but they want it to make it better and get to the point where they can look at a mortgage down the road. So back to this person who destroyed the credit rating, and it's in the low 500s. So first thing, you need to get your credit score, you need to figure out what's on there, and you need to clean it up. So how do you clean up old debt on a credit report? Well, you can pay it off in full. That's one option. You can settle the debt if it's old debt with collections. Chances are they'll take a settlement. The challenging part is they typically want a lump sum settlement, so you have to have a handful of cash on hand to give to them. Although I was talking to a gal today, had just that thing happen to her, and she was able to make 3 payments to clean up the debt. And so I thought that was great that she was able to do that. Or you need to settle the debt with use of some type of credit counseling company or licensed insolvency trustee. That's me. And basically, we and others in the industry, like me, we step in between you and your creditors and we make a settlement offer. Usually you pay so much per month over a period of time. It can't go beyond 5 years, but it can be less. And it might be 20 cents on the dollar, or 50 or 80 or 30 or whatever makes sense. And we help you clean up old debt, because you got to stop the bleeding. You got to stop the old debt before you can start to rebuild your credit. So those are just some things that you can do, but the first step is you need to know what you're dealing with, and then the second step is you need to figure out how to clear that debt, and then the third step is you need to get some type of new credit to start to rebuild, and that's usually where a secured credit card comes in, or secured loan. It could be a car loan, but you know, I don't have time to get into the intricacies of when to do that. But so it usually makes sense to get a secure credit card first for 6 months to a year, get your credit score up, then go get the car loan because you qualify for a better rate. So, Mr. I destroyed my credit rating, that is the answer to that question. And if you need more details, you know where to find me at drdebt.ca, drdebt.ca. Okay, so how are we doing here? 10 to 8, my gosh, time flies when you're sharing financial advice on the radio. So I do have a couple more songs coming up, and I have Johnny Rivers' Poor Side of Town and CCR, Poor Boy Shuffle, love CCR. And then we have community calendar events coming up, and then I'm going to come back with the last 3 beliefs and wind things down for this lovely Thursday evening. So enjoy these next couple of songs, and I'll be back in just a moment to continue this conversation.
Can you tell me how much you missed me? When the last time I saw you, you wouldn't even kiss me. That rich guy you've been seeing must have put you down. So welcome back, baby, to the poor side of town. nothing but a little plaything.
Was a plaything.
Not much more than an overnight fling. This boy had ever found. And girl, it's hard to find nice things on the poor side of town. I can't blame you for trying. I'm trying to make it too. I got one little thing up, baby. I just can't make it without you. Stay now.
Will I stay now?
Will you stand by me, girl, all the way now?
All the way now.
With you by my side, they can't keep us down. Together we can make it, baby, from the poor side of town.
Here is the 88.7 Cove FM Community Calendar.
Cove FM's Community Calendar is brought to you by Bay Equipment Rentals.
Blandford celebrates Canada 150, Saturday, August 19th. Head to beautiful Blandford for a fun-filled family afternoon. Here is just a little hint of what will be happening. Afternoon events 1 to 4 p.m., Kids Canada 150 Bike and Wagon Parade, Bouncy Castle, Free Barbecue, Washer Toss Tourney, Water Balloon Toss, Bingo. Then at 9 p.m. there's a dance with free admission and the usual suspects providing live music. It's hosted by the community organizations working together to make this a great celebration. Anyone wishing to volunteer, please contact Wendy Chase at 902-228-2790.
If you have a community event that you would like included in the Cove FM community calendar, please send the details to info@covefm.com.
Bay Rentals has a large stock of top products for all your yard maintenance.
I find it interesting that Poor Girls Waltz and Poor Boys, whatever that was there, Poor Boy Shuffle, Poor Girls Waltz and Poor Boy Shuffle, there we go, are both instrumentals. I have to remember that. Not play them both on the same night. That's too much instrumental in one night. Okay, we're coming up to the hour, and I still have three more beliefs to share, so now I have to talk really, really fast. I can do it. So, here we go. We are talking about the beliefs that can help keep you poor or in debt. So belief number 4, investing is only for those with some money. Well, the reality is you can invest in lots of things with very little upfront. Many mutual funds, for example, may require as little as $100 to $500 to invest initially, but then any future contributions can be as little as $10 or $20. And over the long term, with the stock market posting annual returns of about 8%, that can grow quickly. So again, just coming back to what can be someone's reality, maybe there's not enough money to cover expenses, so you need to reduce your expenses first to start to invest. Again, don't just throw it out the window, but look at your spending plan and figure out how you can get a plan to get there. Belief number 5, credit cards now give you great rewards that offset the use of cash. Yeah, sure. It might be very tempting to get a credit card because you can get points to get cash back or free airline tickets around the world, but if you actually sat down and did the math, the amount of money that you would be have to spend to get that airline ticket may be more than what you would have to pay in cash, including the ticket. And studies have shown that those who use credit cards instead of cash end up spending significantly more than those who use cash or debit cards. One fast food chain noted that when it started accepting credit cards for purchases, customers were spending 40% more than those customers who used cash or debit cards. So cash or debit can be a better alternative to credit cards, and just be careful that you're not paying more in interest or annual fees than the benefits you're actually getting. All right, last one, belief number 6, I have to have credit to function in the world today. And I talked a little bit about this, and no, you don't. Will it be challenging? Maybe, possibly, probably. But basically, there's more products on the market that are helping. So there's secured credit cards where you put a deposit down, and there's prepaid credit cards where you're putting the money on it, and there's debit credit cards where you're using your own money. Not everybody's taking these now, but it is getting better. So there are ways to get away from using credit. The big thing is to stop the belief or shed the belief that you have to have credit. And when I help people get out from under their debt, one of the things most of them enjoy most is living debt-free, not having credit, and how much less stressful that is. So I just want to make the distinction between having credit and having debt. You can have credit, but not debt. And that is when you're using credit the right way. So use your credit card, pay it off in full every month, don't carry a balance, and don't pay interest. If that's not happening, then you're back into the warning signs. Okay, we're at the top of the hour. I have to end this off. So thanks for joining me. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you've taken away some tidbits to help you have happier, healthy finances. And enjoy this glorious weekend that's coming up. Get into the ocean or the lake and have a swim because it ends all too soon. And I'm going to send you all out with The Money Song by Monty Python's Flying Circus. So happy, healthy finances, everyone. I'll be back next week.
In my pajamas, I've got 40,000 French francs in my fridge. I've got lots of lovely lira, now the Deutschmark's getting dearer, and my dollar bills would buy the Brooklyn Bridge. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money. There is nothing quite as beautiful as cash. Some people say it's folly, but I'd rather have the lolly. With money you can make a splash. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money. There is nothing like a newly minted pound. Everyone must hanker for the butchness of a banker. It's accountancy that waits the world around. You can keep your Marxist ways, but it's only just a phase. For it's money, 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 money.